This is a New Year's game slash tool slash practice that I found to be exceptionally powerful. I've learned it from a number of sources. I first learned it from Jacob Glass, and he called it the lunch game. Kyle Cease taught a version of it, and he calls it Kylego. None of those seem to be very descriptive, so I've been calling it like the time travel lunch. And how you play is, you meet up with somebody, someone that you know. You can even say, hey, I did it at some Christmas parties. Like, hey, you guys want to play a game with me? This is how we play. We talk as if it is a year from now, as we're getting together, and then we reflect upon the year that we just had. And we share what happened. So I would share what happened in 2020, looking back on it. So it's a similar exercise as making goals for the year, except you feel it, have fun with it, and think about it as if it happened, which has all sorts of law of attraction benefits, but also it just makes it more fun. It's less pressure, and it's more like, oh yeah, this is all good stuff. Look at all these things that happened. Now, some tips to the game. One, don't make it impossible. You know, I got into the NBA and I was a MVP for the Lakers. And like, that's not, I mean, unless that is something that you have been training for. Try to make it something that is possible. It could be a stretch, but possible. Two, you don't have to figure out the specifics behind what you share. For example, you could say, oh, I found the perfect job. You know, at the end of last year, I didn't know what I was gonna be doing. The perfect job came my way. You know, a friend knew of an opening. They were looking for exactly what I wanted to do. It's the perfect location for my house, and they let me telecommute, and the pay is better than I expected. I'm really being challenged, and I love what I'm doing. Now, then you've left space for the universe to fill in the blanks, but you can still sit in that place if that's what happened. So, I'll play a little bit. Oh my gosh, welcome to the year-end 2020 Hug Nation. So good to see you. What a year! So many things that I didn't realize would happen, and so many things that were better than I expected. It was such a joy to watch Asher grow up this year, and just like the miracles every time I would get to witness him becoming a little human being. So cool. So great to be able to visit and see that happening. I went on that travel to that place that I always knew I would go, and had a great experience there. Really got away. It was part of the process of me really getting control of my internet use and my scrolling. And so getting offline and that taking that month-long trip really was beneficial to kind of getting a lot of my habits in place. And I kept up with a lot of the really disciplined things that I started a year ago, and I've been feeling healthy. I'm still doing yoga like crazy. I didn't do the teacher training like I thought I, you know, might, but I got to that point this year where I was so dedicated to my practice that I considered becoming a yoga teacher. Who knew? I brought the idea of the post-burn integration group and support group to the Burning Man organization, and they loved it and they endorsed it and they kind of promoted it, so that we had, you know, hundreds of people after the burn this year working to keep that vibe alive. And that was, I mean, that was kind of like a dream come true to see all these people keeping the Burning Man vibe going for months. I finished my manuscript and took my time. It's a level of excellence that was really difficult for me to keep at it and keep editing, but it's beautiful now. I'm really proud of it. And I've got some people working with me and for me to get it out in the best way possible. And just feeling very, it's been a powerful year of discipline and strength and health. And I'm feeling really optimistic about 2021. How was your year? So that's how you play. And you can play over and over and over again. You can play for a long period of time. You can also play with people and ask questions back and forth. You go, oh, really? So where did you go traveling? And you can sit with it and go, I went to India. And or you can go, you know what? I went to the perfect place. So you don't have to answer it. But you might take the questions as a way to kind of think deeper into the scenarios. The goal is to have fun and make it feel good and have positive, good feelings wrapped around your goals for the new year. As opposed to a list of New Year's resolutions that for me are often wrapped in kind of motivation and guilt and like kind of pushing me into those places that doesn't have the same resonance of joy that I think it can when you look back at the wonderful things that have happened. So give it a try and let me know how it goes. Again, props to Jacob Glass and Kyle Cease, who are people that I have taught that game in the past. There's also versions of it with varying degrees of time. You know, you can play with 6 months, you can play with 10 years. Personally, I can never imagine beyond the next Burning Man. So 1 year is a big time traveling for me.
Happy holidays.
I've been talking about this Love Warriors group that I lead. And as always, I would love you to join us. We meet on Sundays and have a Zoom call. And then there's a private Facebook group where we share the things that we're going through and the exercises that we do throughout the week. And so one of the assignments for this month was to go to a public place and hand out candy canes. And there's a lot of reasons why having a practice of gifting can be really valuable. Because one, there's all these obstacles in ourselves and there's all these obstacles in other people with giving and receiving. And so if you practice it, you can kind of start to tune in to what are the areas that you have struggled with and what other people have struggled with. So there were people in the group that went out and had a great experience giving away candy canes with their kids, and then they tried it again at a different location, kind of a snooty mall, and were really surprised at how badly it went and how poorly people received it. And the kids actually were like, wow, that sucked. Like, we had so much fun the other day. What happened now? And I've had similar experiences where, you know, I've gone to some places and people are really chipper, and some places where I have to kind of really work on my gifting game and work on the art of gifting. But the cool thing is, when you work on the art of gifting, you can make something that is not traditionally valuable, like a candy cane, become a significant, energetic interaction. Obviously, if I give someone $100 on the street, they're going to be like, whoa, that was awesome, and tell their friends. But if I can find a way to give someone a candy cane and then them go home and tell their friends, that's where we want to be. That's where we want to be practicing our gifting ninja skills. So one thing that helped is dressing up in some way, you know, a Santa hat or a Christmas sweater, and kind of over embracing the Christmas and holidays spirit. And then other things that I started to learn as I did it was I found an approach that worked really well. And then what I did was, as I walked around the mall, I would say, you made it on the nice list. And I would hand out a candy cane. And if you see the way I did my arm right there, I would go, you're on the nice list. And I would hold out a candy cane and pull my body backwards so that I was not like coming at them. Because people have this concern that if you offer them a gift, because we live in a transactional world, what does that mean I owe you? What do you want me to sign? You know, what store are you promoting? What politician are you promoting? Why are you being nice to me? Why are you doing this? And to just say, to have a Santa hat on, or mine was actually, it was a zebra colored elf hat, with pink trim, because, you know, I got to keep it pink in some way, to say, you made it on the nice list, in a really chippery voice, and then hand it out, 95% of people smiled and received it and said, thank you so much. And it was like these really positive things. And it's fun for me to consider and realize that gifting is a practice, and it can trigger me and other people so much, which is why it's so worth doing. I think it's so worth becoming aware of what are the words that can soften it? What are the actions that can make it less jarring for people? How do you not put someone, you know, on defensive? You don't want someone to feel like you pity them, or that, you know, that's one of the challenges that's, if you're giving to someone who's needy, which I talked about a few weeks ago in the video about how to speak to homeless people, you know, the same things come up talking to anybody. It's how do you find a way to demonstrate that we are connected, and it is a normal human thing to want you to be happier than you are right now, without someone falling into that, a story about why this is a bad idea, or not even a story, just a reaction. It's like, it's safer to stop and to keep the walls up and to not let you in because there's risk. How do we knock down those walls through silliness or over-niceness or whatever it is? So if you have experiences with positive, negative gifting out in the world, please share. I like this time of year because it is a very easy wall to knock down. People fall into the holiday spirit far easier than, because they think there is a cultural expectation of kindness that is more acceptable this time of year. That sounds so sad to even say that. But it's true. Throw on a silly hat and strangers will take candy from you. Maybe this isn't a good idea. I'm just kidding. So hopefully you are having a beautiful end of the year, and you are not overwhelmed with the giving feeling. If you are still shopping for holiday presents, highly recommend you go to an experience, personal art creation, things that are not physical stuff. One thing that I was thinking about doing right now was posting on Nextdoor, like the little neighborhood website, and say, hey, does anybody in the neighborhood make crafts or gifts for the holidays? I only need, see how that's what happens when you get the holidays. I need to give a gift. Transactional. But if you must succumb to the need to give, how can you do it in a way that honors other aspects of honorable and creative and supportive and open-hearted living without too much of the transactional responsibility? How do I honor my desire to make my dad's Christmas morning better without making Amazon and Walmart, the true benefactors of the act? Sally sharing her gift giving plans. She says, I gift often. I always ask people, would you like a gift? Sometimes people say no, thank you, and that's fine. I love it when people accept, though. I wonder if there's different locations, different places. I know that if someone said, would you like a gift to me, even if they say it, you know, at Burning Man, I generally say, probably, it depends what it is. Because I have had differing opinions as to whether something was a gift or not. For example, the gentleman who gave me garlic-infused vodka, which did not treat me well and made me have breath so bad that it made myself nauseous. Not to mention, totally cock-blocked me with the playa date that I was on. But maybe that's too much information. Okay, thank you for joining me today. Thank you for letting me celebrate the amazing role model of Ram Dass as a way to live our lives, to question who we are, to embrace who we are, to allow who we are, and in doing so, be a gift to the world. May we all find our gifts and share them with such beauty. And may we all walk each other home. I love you. Thank you for watching. Please like and subscribe. And let's work together. Be a part of my Love Warriors group. You can join through my Patreon page. Or want to go deep? Another group of the Pink Path is starting soon.